Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast, and these days more than daily. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth, and we are live from Parliament. So we've just had the first ballot of the day, the penultimate, in the Tory leadership contest, and it's Sajid Javid who has been knocked out. Looking at the results, Boris Johnson extended his lead with 157 MPs backing him. Meanwhile, Gove, for the first time in the contest, sneaked ahead of Jeremy Hunt on 61 votes to Jeremy Hunt's 59, and Sajid Javid was knocked out with just 34 votes. This afternoon, MPs will vote again, and then we will have the final two who go to the members. James, looking at those results, what strikes you?
Well, what strikes me is that Boris Johnson now has the support of an absolute majority of Tory MPs. But the fact that his vote went up by 14 suggests that there was some tactical voting yesterday, because it is very hard to imagine that over half of Rory Stewart's vote has gone to Boris Johnson. I mean, it is hard to imagine that many, if any, of Rory Stewart's vote have gone to Boris Johnson, you know. And so I think that suggests there definitely was some tactical voting yesterday. Also worth noting that Sajid Javid's vote went down on what he got yesterday. I think the other thing that I take from those numbers is that this race for second place remains incredibly tight. You know, Michael Gove has now ahead, but only by two votes. And when you look down that list of Sajid Javid supporters, you can see more people who are obvious Jeremy Hunt backers than Michael Gove backers. But so it is going to be incredibly tight at 6 o'clock. And there's also, you can't discount the fact that, you know, it is pretty obvious that if you were Boris Johnson, you'd rather face Jeremy Hunt than Michael Gove in the final round. So is there going to be a bit more tactical voting in that last round?
Now, focusing briefly on Sajid Javid, who is now out of the competition, we have heard from sources close to the Sajid Javid campaign that the Home Secretary will not be endorsing one of the remaining candidates for the next round. James, does that surprise you? Because there had been speculation that Sajid Javid is moving closer to the Boris Johnson camp. He has been tipped, as in your Spectator cover piece, as potentially getting Chancellor. So you might expect that this would be the perfect point for him to say, I'm now behind Boris.
I am slightly surprised, because one of the big, most striking things about that BBC debate was how closely aligned Boris Johnson and Sajid Javid's Brexit positions are. And also they agree on big infrastructure projects, the need to build more housing. And, you know, I think some of those close to Sajid Javid have not been particularly quiet about in the last few days about the fact that they see, but, you know, making the political case for him as Boris Johnson's Chancellor. But, you know, I think there is a question at this point in the game. You know, one of the things about these rounds being so concertinaed is it's quite hard to make a dignified endorsement when there's only 90 minutes until voting opens in the next round. And I think that is probably part of the issue.
Now, I was speaking to a Jeremy Hunt supporter this morning, and they hoped that Jeremy Hunt would get a clear lead ahead of Michael Gove in the first vote today, because they thought that Sajid Javid supporters might be more likely to go to Michael Gove and they wanted to have some momentum behind them. Instead, what's happened is Jeremy Hunt has fallen back behind Michael Gove for the first time in the contest. What do you think the Jeremy Hunt camp needs to do in the next couple of hours before we bring you another podcast with the results to try and turn things around?
So their argument is going to be, let's not have a psychodrama. Yeah, I mean, so much for this clean campaigning pledge. Yeah, their statement, essentially, that their message to Tory MPs is, if you send Boris Johnson and Michael Gove together to the country, it's going to turn into a soap opera. That'll be damaging for the party. So send Jeremy Hunt. I think that is what they are going to. They are going to try and prey on Tory MPs' fears of how a Gove Johnson contest could turn out. And I think you see that Michael Gove, in his statement, is saying, "I'm looking forward to a civilized debate of ideas in the country," which is code for, "Don't worry, I'm going to keep the gloves firmly on in this contest. I'm not going to go for Boris. There'll be no punching below the belt, no eye gouging, all of that stuff." But I think one of the other things here is who comes second isn't just important in terms of who faces Boris Johnson. It's important in another way. Whoever comes second is going to essentially, the needs of party unity will have to be given a big job. And I don't think either Michael Gove or Jeremy Hunt could feel certain of having a big job under Boris Johnson unless they came second. You know, I think if Michael Gove is knocked out at 6 o'clock tonight, I think probably the most likely thing is that Boris Johnson would leave him where he is in government, which is, you know, a job that Michael Gove enjoys, but it is not right at the heart and the centre of things.
And do you think there's a risk that if Jeremy Hunt doesn't make the final two, he would be demoted? He currently has a great office of state.
I'm not suggesting he'd be actively demoted. I just think a new prime minister has to make things fit. And you could see that, you know, in the great juggle of jobs, and it is worth remembering this, there is essentially an informal rule in British politics since 2010 that the holders of one of the great offices of state needs to be a woman. Now, because Theresa May has been prime minister these past few years, she has fulfilled that. But obviously, one thing we can say with total confidence today is that the next prime minister is not going to be a woman. So therefore, that's going to, one of those slots is going to be taken by somebody who isn't Jeremy Hunt or Michael Gove.
Now, one of the big surprises when the results were announced on the committee corridor was actually when they talked about the ballots and the fact there were two spoiled ballots in this competition. Now, that suggests that it wasn't just two Tory MPs who don't know how to fill in the form. Instead, we have had two MPs actively say that they do not want to vote for any of the four candidates that were on offer. Now, there have been many who've been quick to joke that one of these might be Rory Stewart after he was knocked out yesterday. But there's a more serious point here, isn't there, James? Because that suggests that people don't feel represented by any of the current leaders.
If I was one of the candidates to be chief whip under the next prime minister, this would be keeping me up at night. Because, as you say, this suggests that there are... Remember, the government's working majority in combination with the DUP is two. But there are two Tory MPs who cannot stomach the idea of any of these four as prime minister. They don't even have one that they would dislike least as prime minister. But they are not prepared to vote for any of them. And if you're not prepared to vote, if you're not prepared to express a preference between these four, you know, at this point in the process, no one's requiring you to be enthusiastic about who you're voting for, if you see what I mean. And you know, and often people vote against somebody as much as they vote for somebody. And the fact that there are two people who are not prepared to vote for anyone here is, I think, deeply, deeply worrying and a sign of trouble ahead.
And do you think it feeds into this idea that's been put forward by a couple of Rory Stewart supporters, which there was dark arts, I think, to use the words of Rory Stewart, in the voting yesterday. There's a sense that when Rory Stewart was knocked out yesterday, there was an idea being put forward by some that he had been lent votes the first time to get rid of Dominic Raab. There's several different theories. And then these votes were lent to Sajid Javid to knock Rory Stewart out. And I get the sense that there are some MPs, and they may not be right, but they think there is foul play. And perhaps that's what's motivating them to decide that they want to just spoil their ballots.
I think there undoubtedly was tactical voting yesterday, because, as we were discussing earlier, you know, where do these 14 Boris Johnson votes come from? Now, you can make a joke that, you know, maybe the old Etonians backing Rory Stewart moved to backing the other old Etonian candidate. But, you know, there's no way that over half of Rory Stewart's supporters, these were the most anti-no deal people out there, would have gone Boris Johnson. So I think that tick up in the Boris vote does suggest to me that there was some tactical voting going on yesterday. Now, I think it's just worth making one point about tactical voting. You know, there is tactical voting that is actively organised by the campaign, and then there is what one might call Thomas A. Becket tactical voting. That, you know, people can work out what the campaign would like to see, and they take the initiative and go off and do it themselves.
Now, finally, Boris Johnson, as we said, has cemented his lead. He has a clear mandate when it comes to the parliamentary party. And this morning, he also won support from an unlikely source, or at least it would have seemed unlikely perhaps even a month ago. George Osborne's Evening Standard, the paper the former Chancellor edits, has come out for Boris and has written an editorial which has praise in it. I'm not sure if it has full praise, because in justifying the various reasons the paper believes Boris Johnson is the best person to lead the party, they suggest that they think that he doesn't actually see leaving the EU by the end of October as a Brexit red line, and also suggest that he is the right person to lead, as he is the best person to sell a slightly renegotiated withdrawal agreement, which I don't think is what every Brexiteer backer of Boris Johnson's has in mind. So is this a coup for Boris?
I think this Boris Johnson, George Osborne rapprochement has been going on for some time. I think the Standard's endorsement of Boris Johnson was sealed about 2 weeks ago when the pair met. I think the logic of George Osborne's position, which is, you know, what does the Theresa May experience show? It shows that it's very hard for a Remainer to persuade Brexiteers of their deal. So you can see the logic there. Also, George Osborne is always a man who has gone where the power is. Now, you might have thought that the Standard would, you know, would back Michael Gove. You know, George Osborne and Michael Gove go off to their Wagner festival together, and relations between those two have been patched up since the 2016 referendum. But I think Boris Johnson has basically made it... George Osborne has basically made a calculation that Boris Johnson is now going to be the next Prime Minister. George Osborne is coming in with them. And one thing... I don't think it's going to happen straight away, but one thing I would not rule out if Boris Johnson wins a general election victory is at some point a return in some grand role for George Osborne.
Thank you, James. And we'll be back, I'm sure, later on today once we have the results of the final ballot and we know who the final two members are who are going to go and be decided on by the membership.